Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com. Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, Part 1. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for Part 2 in your podcast feed.
Thank you all for joining us at the Community IT Innovators webinar. Today, we're going to walk through a new AI framework put together through the research of Project Evident and Technology Association for Grantmakers. And this is based on surveys of practitioners and their own research, and TAG and Project Evident have created a guideline for thinking about introducing AI tools and concepts to your nonprofit organization or philanthropy. So today they're going to share their results with us and help us think about the needs AI can address, the policies our organizations need to put in place, and ethical areas where nonprofits can make a difference in the development and use of these tools. My name is Carolyn Woodard. I'm the Outreach Director for Community IT and the moderator today, and I'm very happy to hear from our experts. But first, I'm going to go over our learning objectives. So in this session, we're hoping that by the end of this session, you'll be able to learn the definitions of AI and generative AI and the differences, understand the framework, the design principles used in the framework, discuss the ways AI is being used in philanthropy, individual use, organizational use, and mission attainment, and review the considerations, organizational, ethical, and technical. And they have an amazing graphic that they're going to share with us that kind of helps walk you through those different aspects of AI. But before we begin, if you're not familiar with Community IT, just a little bit about us. We are a 100% employee-owned managed services provider. We provide outsourced IT support, and we work exclusively with nonprofit organizations. Our mission is to help nonprofits accomplish their missions through the effective use of technology. So we are big, big fans of what well-managed IT can do for your nonprofit. We serve nonprofits across the US. We've been doing this for over 20 years, and we are technology experts. We are consistently given an MSP 501 recognition for being a top MSP, which is an honor we received again in 2023. So I want to remind everyone that for these presentations, Community IT is vendor agnostic. So we only make recommendations to our clients and only based on their specific business needs. We never try to get a client into a product because we get an incentive or benefit from that. But we do consider ourselves a best of breed IT provider. So it's our job to know the landscape, the tools that are available, reputable, and widely used. And we make recommendations on that basis for our clients based on their business needs, priorities, and budget. And you can imagine we have a lot of clients asking us about AI. So I'm very happy for this presentation today. And now I'm so excited to hear from our experts. So Jean, would you like to introduce yourself and the AI project at TAG?
I would be delighted. Thank you so much. Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Jean Westrick. I am the newly appointed Executive Director for the Technology Association of Grantmakers. I'm just about sort of closing in on my first 90 days here at TAG. And I am really pleased to be sharing the framework for responsible adoption in philanthropy with you today. Go to the next slide. So for folks who don't know, TAG is a membership association, and we focus on stewarding the strategic, innovative, and equitable uses of technology in philanthropy. Our work builds on knowledge within our sector. It strengthens networks through these opportunities to bring members together and share what they're doing and advance organizational practice. And we also provide thought leadership for the social sector and the philanthropy community writ large. So I'm really excited to be here as the voice of philanthropy tech. And we have members actually across the globe in North America, as well as in Europe and in the UK. We believe that technology is not only critical to executing the business of philanthropy, the work that we do every day, and nonprofits as well. I mean, every organization is essentially a technology organization. And every organization, you know, recognizes the strategic imperative of technology in the way in which we deliver our missions. It's often the way we connect with our constituents. And so with that, bringing together all of these groups, we're really thinking about ways in which we can meet the practical needs, the pragmatic needs of those folks every day who are trying to keep the lights on and navigate these decisions, with also so the organizational innovations that happen as well through technology. So I'm really pleased to be here to share a little bit about our mission and this framework. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to my co-presenter and colleague, Sarah.
Thanks so much, Jean. Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here in dialogue with all of you about AI. I'm Sarah DeTroia. I'm a senior advisor in product innovation for Project Evident. We're a nonprofit. We are also excited about the use of technology. But for us, technology is a means to an end. And that end is stronger outcomes for communities. And so our focus is really on data. And we see AI as a way to be able to gather new types of data, analyze data, and make it really actionable for communities and for folks who are on the front lines of organizations and foundations. So all of our missions can be achieved. It's really been a delight partnering with the TAG Foundation, TAG organization over this last year, developing the framework and with so many members of the TAG community. And if there are any of you who are listening that were part of our workshops, just really want to thank you so much for contributing to the development of this framework.
Thank you. So as Sarah mentioned, this framework was the result of a lot of input from a lot of different folks. I want to just take a minute to actually recognize the AI framework team, Kelly Fitzsimmons and Sarah from Project Evident, as well as Gozi Abuanu, who's here on the call today, and my predecessor, Chantal Forrester, who's really had a lot of foresight to help kick off this project and lead this work. This framework was based upon the input of nearly 300 practitioners, leaders, and partners throughout the social sector. And it is our hope that this framework will really help folks navigate this evolving landscape of AI with some informed optimism to be able to evaluate when it's going to be the right decision and when it's not. At tagtech.org/AI, you'll be able to download the framework as well as additional resources that we've put out with regards to that. It's interesting how fast this landscape has evolved. Few in the philanthropy sector were even really talking about AI, a year ago, and now it seems to be everywhere on everyone's lips, and it only continues to evolve faster and faster, it seems. In April of last year, almost a year ago, TAG held its first webinar on AI, and we've held a number of those since. The framework really comes out of those observations and those insights and those questions. You know, what is AI, and why does it matter, and how can our organization use AI to become more efficient? What does ethical AI look like, and what would a policy be in order to ensure that it can happen safely and effectively within our sector? And how do we ensure that AI doesn't undo the decades of work that the nonprofit and philanthropic communities have worked to try to address inequities within our communities, or undo decades of the justice work that has happened? So it's from those questions and recognizing that this is an evolving landscape and these decisions are difficult to travel through. And so we wanted to make sure that we were meeting people where they're at. AI is not new, and Sarah will go into a little overview to sort of differentiate between what we're talking about here. Mainstream tools like ChatGPT have certainly evolved the conversation really quickly, and people are, what we've found is there's an appetite to learn more and to understand how to do this in a way that meets the missions and the visions we have for our own organizations. We also recognize, and I want to call this out, and we can put these resources in the chat as well, that there are a number of frameworks out there already. So the Partnership on AI's Guidance for Safe Foundational Model Development, that is a model out there. Responsible AI Commitments, that has been put together by RA Labs. There's principles that have been developed by Microsoft, and even Project Evident has got a framework as well. These are all complementary, and I'll let Sarah talk about hers if she so chooses. But we wanted to, with this framework, provide people a starting place with some tactical guidance about how to use and experiment with AI. So Sarah, you want to talk about the design principles?
So as Jean was saying, the world has changed dramatically in the last year when we began this project to develop a framework to help foundations be practical and tactical around their engagement with AI. At the time, about a year ago, most of the frameworks that existed were pretty high level. They were values-based frameworks, principles-based frameworks, but they weren't really on the brass tacks. And what the TAG membership was hearing and what we were hearing from our foundation friends and grantmaker friends was that they really needed something that was more practical. And so we had the benefit, the pleasure of working with a number of people in the TAG membership community. We were able to assemble a 5-person steering committee that helped us design the overall project. And then we had a 20-person design committee that worked with us over three different, 2 or 3 hour sessions, where we worked in big Miro boards as we collaborated on what was important, what were people facing, what were the challenges and the questions and the opportunities people really felt like that they were facing around AI. The way we centered all of those conversations was using a series of design principles. And what was very clear to us at the beginning is that we wanted to make sure that whatever was developed was going to center equity at its core. We wanted a very collaborative approach. This was not going to be a framework that was developed in a closet and then sort of released. It really had to be a for us, by us approach. And Jean will talk about that a little bit more. We wanted to make sure we had some cross-team collaboration. So it wasn't just foundation CTOs that were in the room, but we wanted to make sure we had some program officers, we had some practitioners or nonprofits, we had tech leaders. So each of these groups had a mixture of perspectives so that we had the benefit of those shared perspectives in developing a framework. We really wanted to empower technology executives to lead strategic conversations around AI inside of foundations. We really felt like it had been a disservice for technology professionals inside of foundations. They weren't always at the kind of strategy table. They weren't always in those conversations. But we knew that AI was forcing a whole set of conversations or was going to force a whole set of conversations inside of foundations that were profoundly strategic, both around mission attainment as well as around culture and norms inside of the foundation. And it was really important that we wanted to make sure that technology executives weren't just kind of in the box of thumbs up, thumbs down the technology, but really helping to facilitate a broader conversation about strategy and implications for AI usage. Obviously, we want to promote privacy, security, and transparency. And along with Community IT, it was really important to us that this was technology brand and product neutral. A lot of the activity, a lot of the kind of the first movers out of the gate around AI usage in the social sector, not surprisingly, Microsoft, Salesforce, Amazon Web Services, we could not possibly do our work without their incredible investments in technology. And yet, when they engage with our sector, and they only do it from the perspective of sort of brand halo or creating market for their product, we feel like that somewhat limits our conversation. So we wanted to make sure that we are creating a much broader brand neutral conversation. So let me pause there and Jean, talk about the for us, by us, big tent.
Absolutely. So these are actually some photos from that big tent. Back in November 2023 at the TAG annual conference, we held a 90-minute workshop with about 300 people in a huge big ballroom where they brought in real world use cases and then used the framework to evaluate what responsible adoption would look like in their own organizations and what would the steps be in order to do that. So that was an opportunity for us to get feedback about like how this might work with a variety of different perspectives and use cases. And so that was a very informative piece. Sarah was facilitating that. And I was the incoming executive director at that point. I had not yet joined the TAG team. And so I was really heartened by the community spirit and the way in which people were generously giving their time and their experience in order to make this a useful tool.
I'll only just add to what Jean was saying is that it's hard to overstate the amount of change to the framework from that workshop. I mean, it was just the level of insight and input that was given to us so generously by that community. It really dramatically shifted what the emphasis was in the framework. So thank you for those of you who are involved. So just quickly, what is AI? Just to make sure we're all talking about the same things, if you wouldn't mind advancing me, just one. So just straight up, what might be called narrow AI, traditional AI, it's the capacity of a computer to mimic human cognitive functions, such as learning and problem-solving functions. And I'm going to give you a couple examples of what that looks like. That has been around for decades, for 30 years, and it certainly has shaped your life as a consumer directly for probably the last 10 years at least. So everything from Netflix to Alexa to just about, you know, every way that you interact with a consumer-based company has some form of AI in order to expedite the way that they're interacting with you or to more closely serve your needs. And in their case, that's to sell you more product. That's a little bit different from where all of the heat and light has been since November of 2022 when ChatGPT-3 was released into the public. And that's generative AI. And so generative AI is the capacity of a computer system to create things that seem like they're new, whether that's new text, new audio, new video, new sounds, new pictures, all of it. And it uses massive amount of data as training data so that when somebody queries or makes a response or a request, it can create something that appears to be new. But of course, it's based on all of the learning underneath that, all the data that's been used for training. Let me actually give you some examples because that will probably make it more clear for folks. So I want to talk about some common machine learning applications and then give you one example from the generative AI space. So predictive analytics. So this is something that most consumer-based companies are using. Famously, Target used predictive analytics to get a sense of if they could understand which of their customers were likely to be pregnant before they were buying diapers. They wanted to understand who they were and the period of time where they were going to acquire a lot of new product. And they realized that if you bought a combination of about 27 different products, and that was through analyzing tons and tons of data, they would predict with, you know, strong accuracy that you were pregnant. And then they could offer you coupons and other ways to help gain a share of your wallet. The way we've seen some nonprofits using predictive analytics is to really move away from a one-size-fits-all program model to be able to narrow in on adapting their program model and customizing it to different subgroups that were within their client populations that they may not understand are actually subgroups. So Gemma Services, they are focused on working with young girls that need inpatient mental health support. They work with about 250 girls a year. They were interested in whether or not they could tailor their program to subgroups, but they weren't sure what those subgroups would be. And using predictive analytics, they were able to identify, in fact, yes, there were subgroups. There were some people that elements of their program model were more important versus less important. And they were then able to begin customizing the way that the program model was being fit to each girl who came through the program. after a year, I think this is the 2022 data, they found that they could lower the risk score for girls, and that acuity score was about whether or not you'd show back up in the emergency room or come back to the program after discharge. They lowered that almost by 100%. And they decreased the stay in their inpatient facility by just under 3 months. So really dramatic outcomes when they could move away from a one-size-fits-all program model and really focus on those predictive analytics, similar to Target, dramatic outcomes when they can understand subgroups of their customers and better tailor their offerings to those customers. Another form of sort of traditional or narrow form AI would be recommendation engines. You're familiar with this with Netflix, let's say, who is helping to make a complex decision about what you might want to watch tonight from hundreds of thousands of options into offering you ones that are more likely of interest to you based on your taste, but also in the taste of subgroups that are similar to you. An organization that is using recommendation engines is a group called Smart Money. The challenge that they're working on is about 46% of Americans live in families with insufficient income to meet their basic needs. So they're interested in doing two things. They want to connect people to basic goods and services, and so get them aligned with government programs and other programs that can support the family's economic well-being. They also want to reconnect them into the democratic process. So many people feel like, what does government do for me? And so they're trying to both connect them to services, but also get them connected to local politics to understand how tax dollars are being spent in ways that really support the way they live. So that recommendation engine is connecting clients to social services. And so making strong recommendations of ones that would most likely be a good fit, and then supporting in the application of those services. And then following up with keeping them connected via text messaging to the overall democratic process. The natural language processing, so this is the technology that underpins Alexa, Hey Google, et cetera, Hey Siri. Natural language processing is being used by a education nonprofit called Talking Points. They are focused on how do you increase that connection between families of young students and teachers. There's a wealth of scientific data that shows that the stronger relationship between teachers and families, the better the academic outcomes for students. What they have done is created a much more sophisticated translation software. They can translate over 145 languages now. So you can do real-time texting back and forth between families and teachers. And what they found after using this technology is they decreased absenteeism, particularly for marginalized populations, by over 10%. And they increased academic games in math and English language arts, again, for disadvantaged populations, over 10%. Significant shifts there. And what they're looking to do now is to test what does nudging look like? Because it's not every interaction between a family and a teacher that's going to result in a better outcome for a student. It's more likely if that is a less transactional, so-and-so forgot their lunch versus so-and-so had a death in the family or so-and-so is really struggling with math. And so they're going to experiment what it looks like when they do prompting or nudging to encourage teachers and families to have these types of communications. So these are all types of technology that are narrow form AI. They've been around for a long time. There are, frankly, less risks associated with these types of algorithms because they are more narrowly construed. And they've been on the market for a lot longer. So we've had a clear understanding of how they're working and where some of the risks and edges are. Generative AI is, again, the newer technology that has been commercialized. We have fewer nonprofits who are using Gen AI only because it's incredibly expensive still. One organization that is, whenever I use my example for Siri, my phone turns on. So Crisis Text Line is using, they are a national text-based crisis service for people who are in crisis, similar to a crisis hotline. And they were really struggling with the challenge of how do we prepare our volunteers? They go through a 30-hour training program, but they were noticing that some that came out of the training program were not fully getting onto the platform and really supporting, being peer counselors to folks in crisis. They were lack confidence in their own skills. So Crisis Text Line created a simulation environment using generative AI. They wrote their own stories because they don't have access to the texts that go back and forth from live texters and their peer counselors. That's protected information. So they created sort of similar texts based on their experience of working in those exchanges. They use that data then to train a generative AI model. And then that became a volunteer training model. And so I can come into that model and each time I go in and start a new interaction with either somebody who is low risk or high risk, so that'd be somebody who is at risk of self-harm or somebody who is depressed or anxious or sad, but is not at a risk for self-harm. And as a volunteer, I can use that model to practice my text exchanging and to gain comfort. So they are still in piloting mode with this, but their hope is that this will reduce the loss, the yield loss of folks who are going through their volunteer program, but not becoming full members of the platform to be able to support their peers in crisis. So that's sort of a wealth of examples that you can see that's happening across the nonprofit sector. And I'm happy to share, once we get further into this, some examples from the philanthropic sector as well.
Thank you, Sarah. That's an excellent grounding. So now we've seen different applications of AI as a frame to hang our knowledge on. We've identified a number of ways AI is being used in philanthropy, and I would argue that this is also being used in the nonprofit sector too, in these ways. So individual use cases are when a staff or a various stakeholder at an organization is using publicly available AI tools that may not be provisioned by the organization itself. So using ChatGPT to generate correspondence, for example, is an individual use case. With regards to organizational efficiencies, these are the kinds of tools that have been provisioned by your organization, and they're usually found in your tech stack or within your existing technical applications. So they're used to save time and use that predictive analytics and improve the efficiencies of the organization. So it could be the AI tools in Copilot in your Microsoft stack, or it could be something like turning on the AI companion in Zoom in order to take meeting transcriptions. Mission attainment are tools that have been provisioned by the organization for that deeper discovery, those deeper insights to help with identifying strategies for fundraising or analyzing impact and those sorts of things. And then the nonprofit enablement, we put this here because we at TAG, we speak largely to funders, and we recognize that funders are in a position and they should be in a position to support and enable their own nonprofit partners with the adoption of AI as well. I think this framework is applicable for both audiences because it is a starting point and gives you considerations that could be tailored to your own organizational context. I'm going to pass the baton back to Sarah to go into deeper. Oh, there's a poll. Sorry.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to break in and say your timing is perfect. We're right on track. And thank you for making that connection between people who are working in nonprofits and nonprofit mission and foundations and funder missions that are supporting their nonprofits. So I think there is a lot that is definitely in common. But we wanted to get people at this point, now that you just saw that that example, could you please fill in our poll on what are you using AI for at your organization? So this is multiple choice. You can fill in as many as apply. So the first option is individual use. So that's what Jean was just mentioning, like you or staff are using, ChatGPT or other AI tools that you go out and just use on your own. Organizational use may be AI embedded in a tool that you use, like Teams, or it could be AI that the organization, like it's a specific tool that you use within your organization that uses AI. It could be not applicable. You're not at an organization, or it just doesn't apply for some reason. or some other way that you're using AI. And I think, Jean, that would encompass people whose organizations are using AI related to some of the examples that Sarah just gave us, where you're achieving part of your mission or, you know, more enabling your mission by using AI to do this kind of additional work or limit the resource because you have limited resources, limiting who you're spending those resources on using some AI tools. So, and if you are doing something in that realm, if you could put that in the chat, we would love to hear more from you about what your organization is doing. Jean, if you would mind reading the responses for people who may be not able to see.
Sure. Thank you. Yes. So what ways do you use AI? And we're actually, this is mimicking because we've talked to hundreds of organizations and some of this is tracking what we're already hearing. That most use is in the individual space. And so 76% of the respondents responded that individual use is the way in which they're using AI, with 35% organizational, 18% not applicable, and 2% other, which is interesting.
And we have some great, a couple of great questions in the chat. So someone says they're feeling a little FOMO.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out on AI. And I feel like we've talked about this in some other context as well, but with it changing so rapidly, and if you remember back to when Siri was first out there and it didn't work at all, like you would ask it to do something and it completely misunderstood you. So I feel like there's not a huge drawback to waiting. If you're like kind of still getting together how you would use this, the tools are going to be different and they're going to be better in even just a year. So don't feel FOMO that it's going to get away from you. But if you are interested in it, like starting now, coming to this webinar and using other resources to learn as much as you can about it as you kind of get ready to use it, I think is a good idea. And there were a couple of other things in here, a pilot group using ChatGPT and Copilot. Using AI for the first time this week for marketing copy for free resources and webinars. Like, that's a great use case, right? Saves you some time. Would like to learn what other, what tools are being used to do things like summarizing information, not a single document, but collections, summarizing applications and reports. All of those are great use cases that I'm sure Jean, you and Sarah have seen and just wanting to hear more in general. So yeah, just a bunch of different people putting in the chat. And if we can't get to everything, we're going to include a lot of this in the transcript. So look for that.
Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, part one. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for part two in your podcast feed. Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.